No, wonderful. Can we put our hands together? The joy of welcoming back our Foursquare missionaries to Mexico, Pastors Don and Sandy Godwin. You saw a lot of footage there of their church in Rosarito, Mexico, called Hope Chapel Rosarito. And before we actually bring them up, I want to welcome our missions committee that's here, our GO team, as well as our council, our church council. Would those members come and join me? We had a number that were here at first service. I welcome you up to the stage as you come. We have a special presentation we want to present to Don and to Sandy. So thank you. Our missions committee, our GO committee, meets every third Thursday of the month. And with that, they do a great job of not only praying for numerous requests by our missionary units, but also care for and cover our missions and our missionaries. Also, our church council, we're so grateful for them because they are the ones that are so wise in stewarding our finances so that the ministry of Hope Chapel Huntington Beach can abound. And we are doing a lot of good when it comes down to seeing, did we spend, as you saw, our record giving missions was well over $140,000 in 2018. So this was a real tribute to the good stewardship, leading of the Lord, and the responsible people that you see up here. Well, I want to now welcome to the platform, if you would welcome with me, Pastors Don and Sandy Godwin as they come. We want to welcome you right here. Pastors Don and Sandy Godwin, we are welcoming you back here to your home church. Almost 11 years ago, we released you from this to go and plant a church there in Mexico. Exceptional journey it's been. I always enjoy hearing the stories. And in particular was the story this last Friday where you were asked by our recent church planting couple, Ed and Noelani Jai, called Jesus House Westminster. Being there in the audience, Pastor Noelani was recounting when they came to Hope Chapel, how broken and disillusioned they were, and then decided to come into a life group. We called it mini church then. And lo and behold, Don and Sandy were doing a mini church here. And they were thanking the Godwins for the life that came back into them. And then, as you now know the story, they launched a church just up the road from us. And great, great fruitfulness out of that. Wouldn't you say it's amazing what's happening there? But Don and Sandy, we wanted to just pay tribute because you continue to be a lifelong learner, not only just a doer. But boy, it's amazing because just this 27th of April, you went through the graduation of your master's degree in church leadership. So we want, it's a great accomplishment, don't you? Wow, amazing. So we wanted to present to you, naturally, a card congratulating you on the exploits. We know it's teamwork. Right there. Because when we would talk, oftentimes it's like Sandy's handling that. She's preaching this Sunday while I can finish my dissertation and other things. But we wanted just to express, and I hope you don't mind, in there is a check for $500 so we can help sponsor and promote your little sabbatical. We hope that you're going to be joining us. We hear it in Nashville for the Foursquare Convention. And what a wonderful gift you are to the Foursquare movement. We love and value who you are. And I'm so thrilled if there are those among us or who are watching who have not had a chance to experience you, to see and understand you. They can go on the FMI website. They can go on your website. But today we have you all to ourselves. So would you put your hands together and welcome to the platform, Don and Sandy Godwin.
Well, good morning, church. I'm Sandy Godwin and the Sandy part of Don and Sandy. And 11 years ago in August, about 20 plus of you helped us load our cars and trucks and moving van and took stuff to the dumpster for us. And we all headed down to Mexico and got lost and ended up in our, finally, about 11 o'clock in our home. From that time until this, we have been a part of Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. You're part of our DNA. You are the place where we came in as a broken couple and got restored. And the Lord then called us out to Mexico, where we have the ministry of restoration of broken people once again. And God has been so faithful over these years. I want to thank you for praying for us, for giving toward our work, for sending us, for coming down and working with us and doing all kinds of stuff for us. You guys are amazing, and we couldn't and wouldn't want to do this without you guys. You're just a part of us. Everything we do, you're doing. You're doing. God called us to Mexico about 11 years ago to plant an English-speaking church, and we thought it would be filled with retired people who spoke English, and we'd just hang out and love Jesus together. But what happened was we got down there and opened up our English-speaking church, and only Spanish speakers showed up for the first several months. So I love how God does more. If he had asked me to go down there and start a Spanish-speaking church, I probably would have said no, because I don't speak Spanish. But the Lord does more than you can ask or think. And so out of that time of ministering to Spanish speakers, because you got people in your church, you got to minister to them, we ended up planting a Spanish-speaking church, which now has been going for about 10 years. And it's now being pastored by a national pastor, which we're very happy about. They're doing very well. In the time that we were ministering to Spanish speakers, we were like, but Lord, you called us here to do English ministry. What's going on? And about that time, we had a couple come into our church, and he was a Mexican, and she was an American, Caucasian lady, and they came in. They wept all through our service, and I was excited because I'm like, oh, they're going to get Jesus Day. This is so cool. We're going to see his salvation. Only to find out that they were actually ministers in the United States, but the husband, because of his history, had been deported to Mexico, and they were broken. And they were broken. And we believe that you are responsible for what you know. So once we learned about deportation and what that actually means, that a person comes to the United States without documentation, and something happens, and they end up getting sent back to Mexico. They get sent back to Mexico with no ID, no money, no papers so that they can work there, and they really do become refugees. They're stripped of everything they've known here, and they're in an area in TJ. How many of you have been to TJ? Where it's not a friendly place to be. They are not known. They don't know the language many times. They're just kind of left to fend for themselves. And that time when you're the lone sheep, that's when the enemy attacks. So as we began to hear about deportation, we began to say, Lord, is this what you have for us? And the Lord said, yes. And now our church is 98% deported families. All those pictures you saw, those shiny little kids' faces, all deported families. They've gone through an entire life change, and they're part of our church. Well, you know what's so cool is when Don and I came to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, we were broken. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't think God had anything left for us. And then we sat down with Pastor Paul one day and told him our whole big sad story about how we loved Jesus, but we were broken and just enjoying living in our mess. And Pastor said these famous words, what's next? What's next? Those are life-giving words. We hadn't thought about what was next, but we knew that God had called us way back in the past before we messed everything up to missions, to ministry. And it was right here in this church, right here in these front rows, where the Lord healed us, restored us, redeemed us, and sent us. And now we are doing the same thing in Rosarito. God has called us to work with broken, hurting, desperate people who are being restored by the power of God, who are being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are being sent out to do missions work at the border with people who are in the same spot that these people in our church were in when they got deported. Isn't God good? He does more than we can ask or think. And everything that we do is because of you. It's made possible because of you. Every time we go out and lead one of those men at the border who you saw in the ponchos, every time they come to know Jesus, that's a jewel in your crown, because you have had the faith to send us from here. I encourage you to ask for more than you can even think of, and let God show you what he can do. God bless you.
That was beauty. Now the beast. It's not nice to make jokes about yourself, is it? But I do have a beautiful, wonderful wife. I got that Proverbs 31 gal. I found her. Woo! God says, no, you didn't. I brought her to you. All right. Good enough. So many faces around the room that we are happy to see, and I could spend all the time that I have left just going around and doing that. And I kind of started to do that in the first service, but I'll get in a lot of trouble. I do want to give a shout out to Haley. We're so thankful, grateful for your ministry, you and Bill. I don't know if you saw Bill's face up there as he's praying. They come twice a year to be with us. God has been gracious to us in letting them be part of that ministry. And since we met them here all those years ago, we feel like we're almost back at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. Hope Chapel Rosarito is Hope Chapel Huntington Beach Sur, South, yeah? So, but Mike, Emily came down. See, I'm doing it. Here we go. And Lacey designed our first logo, and you guys are such a part of us that when we stand here, it can be hard to speak. Let me just tell you, it's tough. So I admire you, honey, for getting through that. I want to share a passage of scripture with you guys just briefly today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3, 4, 5, then we're going to go 11 and 12. How's that? Here we go. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith. In all the persecutions and trials you are enduring, verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So is that phrase, every act prompted by your faith, what acts are we talking about? You guys know in Mexico, or as Sandy and I love to call it, Flexico, because you got to be kind of flexible about your schedule and your life where we live. Everybody does, right? That's no secret. But down there, we speak Spanish. Up here, we speak English. But actually, in TJ, we speak something else as a third language known as Spanglish, right? You guys know a little bit of Spanglish. Down there, when they want to say, I'll see you later, they say, I'll watch you later. So the Spanish version of that is, I lo watcho. Next time you see somebody who is from the land, you just lay that on them and watch their eyes go like, he's local, man. This guy knows what he's doing. So the word in Spanish, pues, P-U-E-S, it kind of means like well. Like if you're going to say, how do you get down to the OXXO, which is like a Mexican 7-Eleven, right? You guys have been with us, know all these places. But in English, you'd say, well, you go down the street and make a right, and there it is. In Spanish, they're like, no, pues, échale pa' acá y pa' allá y ahí está. That's it. You just learned a ton of Spanish right there. That'll get you through like weeks of whatever you need to do. So that is like, ay pues, yeah? So there's a Mexican expression for when you hear something like incredible, that there's no way that could be true, you say, ay pues, wow. Spanglish. And it also kind of works for amen. So now you know. So you're in church, so it's like, amen, pues, wow. Hey, that's right on. Try it. Ready? Pues, wow. If you really want to lay it down, then you say, ay, pues, wow. Look at these guys. I'm done here. My work is finished. It's very powerful to hear you guys do that. Acts of faith, guys, are things God does. I love how in Joshua 3, when he goes before the people, he says, consecrate yourselves because tomorrow God is going to do amazing things. Aren't you glad we don't have to do the crazy, amazing stuff? We just, all we do is obey. Yeah, we just show up. That's right. We just go and do what he says, and then he does these crazy things like part the waters and then drown the chasing army in it. It's like he does all that stuff. And he's part of the waters for us where we are. And for you here, as we're 100 miles apart, but we're together in our hearts, right? Boys, wow, we are family right here. Jesus said, have faith in God. In who? In Dawn? In God. It's him. If you ever get to a place in your life where your life feels stopped up, ask yourself a question. Who's your faith in? Where is your confidence? Go back to that very first place where you believed and say, Lord, I still believe you. You've got this. I don't know what's happened, but you've got this. And I want to start from right here. Have faith in God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Now, on the day when those words were written, horses and chariots, man, that was the bomb. That was it. If you had horses and chariots, you didn't need much else. You conquered the whole world. The Syrians did that. The Babylonians did that. Everybody got killed by those guys. Why? Because they had these crazy tons of horses and chariots. It'd be like Patriot missiles, dude. It'd be like bringing in Godzilla, killing everything, because that's all you needed. In fact, that's why God said, I don't want the earthly kings that I'm going to allow you to have, Israel. I don't want them to have that stuff. Solomon disobeyed that. He did not heed that. He forgot that. He was led astray, as you know. And disaster followed. And that's what happens in our life when we fail to trust in God and we start trusting in, we get mixed up. You know what mixes us up, guys? Our talent or lack thereof. We say no to God. Sometimes we say yes to God based on our estimation of our own abilities. And we say, that guy's going to make a great pastor because, man, he this or that. Or listen to his wife tickle the ivory over there. Man, she can play the piano like Paderewski, only a chick, you know. She's great. Or, man, don't they look, aren't they a handsome couple? Or half a handsome couple. Pues, wow, that's what I said. But it's not about that. It never was. We keep getting brought back to that. It is not our ability. It is not our talent. It never was. It's only about our trust. God called. We trusted. Eventually. Took us a little while. God, is that really you? You ever think about Noah? Some of those guys in the great chapter of faith, the Hall of Faith, we call it. I think it's like the pipeline of Scripture. It's like the Cortez Bank, you know, for us surfers, right? It's that place. I don't surf. I wish. I surf in my mind. But I eat at Islands too now and then. I see Laird Hamilton on the big giant waves, and I go, boys, wow. But Hebrews 11, man, is that chapter that talks about all the stuff God does, all the stuff we do with him. See, we trust in him. These acts of faith are whose acts? Who does them? God. But whose faith prompted it? That's right, friend. These acts of faith, acts of God prompted by your faith. Noah built the ark. Abraham lived in tents, traveled all over the known world without a GPS, anything like that. Just because God said to. Isaac, I love this. Bless Jacob and Esau. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 20, in regard to their future. Did you know it takes faith to bless your kids? Here's the corollary. As people of faith, we're supposed to bless our kids. They need it. They need that parental covering that says, I bless you. I bless you. I love you. I bless you in Jesus' name. And then later, his son Jacob did the same thing with his kids. When you bless your kids, they're going to bless your grandkids. And if you're not a grandpa yet, let me tell you something. That's so cool. Got to spend all day yesterday with four of our granddaughters. We have six total. And man, we love those little gals. They're so wonderful, so sweet. And just playing with them and being with them, it's good to know that we have spent all of our adult years blessing our kids and saying, Lord, bless them. Call them closer and closer to you, because we know the payback comes in those grandkids, and God bless them. He has a future for them. Moses led God's people through an ocean, and there's this whole list of people, it says in verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. It's just scripture, guys. And who became powerful in battle. Woo, come on. And routed foreign armies. And then it says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Earlier it says they gained what was promised. Here it says they didn't receive what had been promised. What that means is they got to see some of it. Friends, we don't get to see all of it. That's what Jesus said. Trust in who? We trust him. And here's verse 40. God had planned something better. Now he's talking about us. For us, so that only together with us would they, who's he talking about? David, Gideon, Moses, Abraham, all those guys. Says, get this. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, come on, that's a pues, wow, equis de right there. That's the biggest amen of all. Moses, his faith will be made complete when he gets to be with us. Incredible. I'll just be like, I just want to be an ant in the room here. I just want to see these guys, Moses, Abraham. Wow. They're like, I want to see you. Because why? Because you're capable of the same acts of faith they were, friend. The same thing. See, they're cooperative acts. They're between you. It's a partnership between you and God. Your acts of faith glorify him. I want to tie this up here with this. This passage speaks of the friendship between Paul and the congregation he's writing to. Your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. You get the feeling there. And this is what scholars tell us. He wasn't able to be there as often as he wanted to. He loved them. And we are certainly not able to be here. I'm not saying I'm any kind of Apostle Paul. That'd be backwards here. But we want to be home with our pastors and our friends much more often than we get to. We're there on your assignment. You sent us. We are kind of like your act of faith, church. Isn't that right, Sandy? But he says, your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. I heard a story about Eugene Peterson. You guys probably all know who he was. He went to be with the Lord recently, but he's the man who penned the actual transliteration of the Bible called The Message. Phenomenal work. And his goal there was to go in and get into the actual Greek, Hebrew of every single word, figuring out, because he was a massively gifted Greek and Hebrew scholar, figure out what the word meant to those people back then so he could translate it and just say, what would it mean now to us? It's an incredible experience to read The Message, but as I said, he passed on recently. In the years before he died, he and his wife lived on a cabin by a lake where they were retired, and his son would come up and bring him letters, just things that had been sent to him on behalf of his dad. And he would go up to his dad's cabin, and they'd sit out by the lake, and he'd read these letters, and he'd say, "Dad, so-and-so wrote this letter, and he said, you saved my marriage." Or he'd say, "You saved my church." He'd counseled with many pastors over the years. Or some would say, "You saved my life. Thank you." And as he'd read these letters to his dad, his dad wouldn't remember the names. A touch of dementia. And he would not remember the names, and he wouldn't remember many of the stories. But as he would read these letters, his dad would say to him, "That's good. That's good." And the son wrote, he said, "You know, my dad didn't remember the details, but he remembered the relationship." As your faith grows, I know your love grows too. We're grateful to you guys for the way we have been in relationship with you, our relationship with Pastor Paul and with Ainsley and with the council here and with so many who we've known and loved through the years who came down with us, helped us unload our first truck full of stuff. You're still with us in our hearts. We're still part of you. Somebody could just go around the room right now. You know it, and you know who you are. You've played such a huge part in this ministry. This is your act of faith, and I want to encourage you today that your acts of faith aren't over. God's got more for you to do. That's what Paul writes in here. He says, "I know there's more." And it makes me feel sort of puny to stand here at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, of all places, $140,000 missions budget. Wow. Or, pues, wow. And I'm looking at you and I'm saying, God's got more. Don't say that in my strength. I say that in his. My trust is in him today. Who would just say with me, "You know what? I've stopped something in my life. I've been hurt. I've been through something. And I need to unstop that today in my life." Who would say that with me? I know there's somebody here today. Yeah. I know there's more. You would just say, "God wants to open that gate in my life again because I want him to use me the way he wants to use me." You with me? Let's just pray together, guys, shall we? Lord, you're the great I am. You're not the great I was or the great I want to be. You're the great I am. As we say in Spanish, el gran yo soy. You're here today. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. We depend utterly on you. We need you. Lord, where there's a heart in this room, it's experienced a stoppage. I pray, Lord Jesus, you will open that fountain again in that heart. There isn't anybody in this room in the sound of my voice right now who's beyond the reach of the love of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is here right now to break through whatever that is. And he wants to. And he wants to let you understand the past needs to be the past. What happened to you in the past, just like with our deported families in Mexico, no longer needs to define you. Put it away. Put the hurt away. Put that thing behind you by the power of the Holy Spirit today. Let him begin to prompt acts of faith in your life that he will then back up with his power. Praise God.
Open. So do what only you can. Jesus, have your way in me now. I open up my heart to you. I open up my heart to you now. So do what only you can. Jesus, have your way in me now. I open up my heart to you.
One of the telltale signs of people who have come through victorious is that they share what God's done in their lives, and that's Dawn and Sandy Godwin. Not only has the Lord put their lives together, but their own children have enjoyed that. They're feeding off of the faithfulness of God for their mom and dad, now their grandchildren. What is a great indication that it was of the Lord is that everywhere they touch and pray with people, healing abounds as well. So to follow their storyline with what's happening there in our southern borders and people who just want a better life like you and me, but are now deported in Mexico with maybe never coming back, they need hope. And what a great church you named it, Hope Chapel. I want to welcome Sandy to come because I'm going to invite all of us to stand now. We're going to pray. I'm going to have her pray. And we're specifically wanting to enhance the element of brokenness. Dawn was addressing that. Want to just make sure you are aware of that call of the Holy Spirit saying, I want to settle it right now. Something about Jesus when he opened up the book of Isaiah and he turned to Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. That was one of many. That was the first thing that Jesus said. This is what God has anointed me. My Father has anointed me to do. These are the people I'm looking for to heal brokenness, brokenheartedness, emotional strain. And if you have ever experienced a broken heart, it's not... If you have, it's more like when, because it will happen. It can happen by reason of a person that you had a partnership with and that just broke. You had a friendship that all of a sudden something turned and it turned out into name calling and just distancing and just a broken heart. You set your sights on a job. You are anticipating a job promotion and that didn't materialize, a broken heart, or the death of a loved one. You just said, it'll always be together. We'll always have family relationships. And that death has separated, broken heart. Or there's areas where you're expecting an anticipation that in a work environment or a church setting or a ministry you had hopes of being a part of and just something changed. It's not there. Broken heart. It comes in a variety of ways. So it's not if you have, it's more like when, because it will happen. But if you're here this morning, think it's helpful for us to say, have you experienced a broken heart? Are you still in that area? Because God's presence here is to heal. And Sandy's going to pray. And if you have had or are experiencing a broken heart, let's say right now, would you raise your hand with me? Just raise that hand up. Let's take a look at those hands. Keep them up. Keep them up. God's going to heal brokenheartedness right now. Hey, anybody else want to join? One of the things that keep us back from breakthroughs is that we don't want to let anybody know that we might have a need. But God says, I'm here. Meet that need. We have tremendous giftings in these two individuals, Don and Sandy Godwin. And for you who are watching via live stream, we're now going to pray and God will heal. Today is the day of a breakthrough and move on to what is next.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up our hands to you, God, and we wait with expectation for you to pour out your spirit on us as you've never done before. God, that you would bind the brokenhearted, that you would deliver those that are oppressed, depressed. Lord, that you would bring freedom to those who are weighed down by the hurts of their lives. Lord, the enemy has tried to knock down. The enemy has even tried to kill some in this place through depression and oppression, where you feel like you just can't even get up the next day. We break that by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We speak freedom. We speak freedom. Release the chains that have bound in Jesus' name. The doubt that has entered into the heart that says God can't. God can. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he will do. The same God that healed me, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead, that God is here to bring freedom to you. Freedom to you. Freedom and healing to you in Jesus' name. We stomp on the enemy's head. We say no more depression, no more bondage, no more assault of our mind and spirit. We speak joy of the Lord as our strength. We speak healing over this place in Jesus' name. Relationships healed, restored, renewed by the blood of the Lamb. We speak it in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we begin to give you praise because we wait with great anticipation for the work to be done. We pour out, Lord, pour out your spirit on Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. Each one of these precious children that are yours, and do the new restorative work that you have in their lives, that you would raise up leaders, ministers, missionaries, teachers out of this place. God, do your healing work. Do your redemption work, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen.
I'm about to pray you off a blessing. I think you received much. I know I did. And what an exceptional encounter with the Lord. That's my heart's desire every week. Lord, we're coming on a Sunday. Lord, people need you so badly. And they don't want to just read about you in some script. They want to experience you. How many want to experience God every day? You wake up, say, what kind of adventure will we have today, you and me, Jesus? Well, let me pray off that blessing. I want to highlight and ask Pastor Andre if he'll come and assist our guest speakers to the double glass doors. I want to make sure that you get a chance and just shake their hands, get better acquainted. Some of you have never met our Foursquare missionaries from Mexico. Please make sure you introduce yourself. Tell them what an amazing couple they are. It always helps carrying them over to Mexico. So as they walk off to, we're going to pray right now. So Father, we want to thank you for your goodness and that the power of the Holy Spirit's been so evident today. We want to thank you, Lord. There will be others that will be changed because of today's services. People that we know, and we're going to go and tell them, say, guess what God has done? I feel light. I feel free. I feel a new, fresh anticipation that my life matters not only to God, but to you who I'm speaking to. So, Lord, we want to thank you. Let the Word of God now become incarnate in each one of us. And bless, according to your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.